This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Welcome to Area News. Important stories that impact your life do not always happen in the metro area. Keep up with the news happening all around you and in your neighborhood, no matter where you live. For the next 60 minutes, it's Area News, right here on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is Area News, and I'm your reader, Denise, with the audio reading service of the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading from The Post and Mail, The Plain Dealer, and The Decatur Daily Democrat. Now, I'll begin with The Post and Mail, from Wednesday, September 24th, 2025, copyright 2025, KPC Media. Whitley County's Heart of Gold nominees honored. For 30 years, the Community Foundation of Whitley County annual Heart of Golds Awards has sought to honor individuals who make the community great through various acts of kindness and volunteerism. Over the years, hundreds of friends, neighbors, and family have been acknowledged for their admirable character, caring hearts, and for making a difference in the lives of local residents. This year's nominees were invited to the offices of the Community Foundation on September 18th to receive the traditional gold heart medallions and learn who nominated them. The evening was capped with a wonderful surprise, as everyone who was nominated was given the opportunity to award a $250 grant to a Whitley County charity of their choosing. The foundation has shared condensed excerpts taken from original nominations in the words of the nominator. Nominee, Doug Clark. Nominator, Nikki Keister, Columbia City Connect. Doug is a community builder whose energy, creativity, and generous spirit have brightened countless days and strengthened the fabric of Whitley County. He served on the board of directors of Columbia City Connect, lending his voice and his ideas to grow opportunities and expand programs for the community. He also gave his time to the First Fridays Committee, where he was the catalyst behind the RC drag races and later the Wheels of Whitley County event series. He collaborated on the digital downtown history tour, writing the scripts that now bring local history to life for visitors and residents alike. He volunteered with Third Thursdays, helping shape events that were welcoming, engaging, and memorable. Doug spearheaded the inaugural standalone Wheels of Whitley County car show in downtown Columbia City on August 2nd. In its first year, the show drew an impressive 120 cars. Proceeds were donated to the Honor Flight of Northeast Indiana. Whitley County is a stronger, more connected place because of him. His contributions embody the very spirit of service, kindness, and community that this award was created to honor. Nominee, Mercedes Sadie Ressler. Nominator, Jill Usher. I met Mercedes Sadie as a volunteer for the Dazzlers, a special needs cheer team. From the beginning, it was clear that Sadie was someone extraordinary. Her kindness, energy, and unwavering commitment to others stood out immediately. 6 years ago, Sadie took her passion even further by founding the Warriors, a special needs dance team. Through this initiative, she has created more than just a dance team. She's created a safe, welcoming, and empowering space where every member is encouraged to shine. Her leadership has helped these individuals grow in confidence and self-expression. Sadie's passion for inclusion shows what it means to have a heart of gold. Nominee, April Waugh. Nominator, Darcy Hoopengarner. I nominate April Waugh, RN, for the Heart of Gold Award. As the Whitley County Community Health Nurse, my job is to promote wellness and prevent disease for our county residents. In 2025, we were able to launch Empower Whitley Women, a monthly wellness program designed for the ladies of Whitley County. For the month of July, April came to me with keychains and lanyards that she handcrafted from quilt material for the ladies. Many of the keychains contained inspirational messages. April made these keychains to sell at various craft events, but rather chose to donate to the EWW program. I felt unworthy of the donation, but extreme gratitude because I believe this type of donation helps maintain attendance. Each of the ladies attending the July meeting expressed their thanks for the kindness shared through April's hard work, craftsmanship, and financial investment. I enjoyed watching the ladies' faces light up as they chose the keychain that was their favorite color or inscribed with a meaningful message. Nominee, Janet Parker. Nominator, Abby Carroll, Humane Society of Whitley County. For nearly 10 years, Janet Parker has been a whirlwind of energy at our shelter. Definitely not the quiet type. If she's here, you know it. She's cleaning, organizing, fixing, hauling, or finding some other way to make the place shine. You can't walk past Janet without getting pulled into her latest project, and she wouldn't have it any other way. She's the kind of volunteer who doesn't wait to be told what's needed. She just dives in, often spotting things the rest of us never would. And when it comes to compassion, Janet's heart is as big as her to-do list. When a terminally ill dog named Bess needed a loving home, Janet welcomed her without hesitation, giving Bess comfort, joy, and dignity in her final days. Janet's unstoppable energy, huge heart, and never-say-no attitude make her truly one of a kind. Nominee, Eric Anderson. Nominator, Janet Fager. I am very thankful for people like Eric Anderson who see a need and take care of it. Eric often gives of his time to mow lawns or pick up leaves for the area neighbors. He has done this for over 22 years for a minimum of 6 households. Eric often will lend a hand without batting an eye, expecting nothing in return. One funny incident was when I was up on my roof to check something on a cold, frosty morning. I had to wait for Eric to come out of his house so I could holler at him to please hold the ladder for me to get down. I was afraid I would slip and fall due to the frost. My dog, Max, has also been in front of his generosity and care. As a single person, I often have to ask for help in various capacities. Max has been sick or injured since May of this year, and Eric has stepped up to help let him out or even clean him up if I haven't been home. Eric will not be happy that I nominated him for this because his attitude is, "That's what friends are for." He doesn't consider himself any more special than the next person. However, in a world of self-centered people, Eric stands out as anything but that. I am truly blessed to be his neighbor, but to also call him friend. Nominee, Dwayne Jensen. Nominator, Janet Jim Johnson, Woodlands Senior Center. Dwayne gives his time in so many ways in our community. As a member of the executive board of the Whitley County Council on Aging, Dwayne is at every event we hold. He volunteers on committees and gives freely of his time during the events. He invests in others as he trains and mentors others on accounting and billing efforts at the Whitley County Council on Aging. Dwayne serves as Whitley County Master Gardeners Group. They plant and maintain a raised garden for the Whitley County Council on Aging, where we receive so much fresh produce. Dwayne can be found in the garden pulling weeds and pruning plants. Dwayne serves at the Whitley County Free Clinic. Dwayne is patient and such a hard worker. He is constantly thinking of ways to add value to the organizations he serves and the people those organizations impact. From time invested to money given, to the literal physical work, Dwayne is all in when he volunteers, and he makes life better here in Whitley County. Nominee, Jeremy Freeman. Nominator, Sean Ellis. Jeremy has been leading a team of community members for the Whitley County Night to Shine, a prom experience for our friends in the community with disabilities. Jeremy loves Night to Shine, and he loves ensuring that all the honored guests receive the best night of their year. From logistics, to decorations, to music, to lighting, to formal wear, to the red carpet, to food, to dancing, to fun, to special requests, to food needs, to volunteers, and or to cleanup, Jeremy leads with our team with only one thing in mind, giving the honored guest an unforgettable experience. None of these things would happen without his big heart for our disability community and how he helps our team see and feel what he sees and feels because of his leadership. After Night to Shine is over, Jeremy switches gears to carve another evening of his busy schedule to serve a meal to the Night to Shine leadership team. We share all the stories of the evening to remind us why Night to Shine is one of the most valuable assets in Whitley County. Again, our team is reminded how big Jeremy's heart is for Night to Shine and everyone who attends. Jeremy Freeman is an incredible leader in Whitley County with the purest heart of gold. Nominee, Jill Daniel. Nominator, Carolyn Lewis. Jill started Midweek Meals. It is a free will, and she is the master chef. Before each meal, Jill gives us examples of how we should be and do as a person. As she dances around, this opens up our eyes. Then Jill always gives us a prayer. Then she tells us what the meal is she will be serving. While we are eating, Jill also goes around and hugs on us and makes us feel so welcome. I never knew Jill until I started eating here, and I see people who really need a good meal. I feel this is truly an act of kindness, and I feel it makes a difference. What she does comes from her heart. Nominee, Pat Wilkins. Nominator, Cindy Zollinger. After years of working at Smith Green School Corporation, Pat Wilkins understood the need for many students and acted to meet those needs with deep faith that God would provide the path. Pat began the Boomerang Backpack program for students who might not have nutritious meals for the weekends in the Cherubusco community. She recruited churches and community organizations to help with funding and people to fill the bags and deliver the food to schools on Friday for students. Now in its 12th year, Pat continues to order the food, organize volunteers, and take care of all the details so that the children in need receive their weekly bag on Fridays for sustenance over the weekend. She does this always with a cheerful countenance and the constant faith that God will provide. Her heart is in the right place and always golden. Nominee, Joe Robertson. Nominator, Carol Flowers. Call Joe. That is a phrase you hear throughout the Whitley County community. Need donations picked up for a silent auction? Call Joe. Need toys sorted for Toys for Tots? Call Joe. Need help with the car show? Call Joan. Need phone calls made? Call Joe. Need puzzles for the senior center? Call Joe. Need canned food for animals at the shelter? Yes, call Joe. For years, Joe has volunteered throughout Whitley County for numerous nonprofit organizations. Her name has become synonymous with silent auction donations, toy drives, food drives, and more. She always finds the time to help, regardless of who is asking. She's one of the most generous and kind people I know. Over the years, the United Way, Humane Society, Toys for Tots, Chamber of Commerce, Honor Flight, veterans groups, and more have benefited from Joe's can-do attitude, willingness to help, and community spirit. Joe truly has a heart of gold for all things Whitley County. Nominee, Stan and Doris Horn. Nominator, Nicole Geary. Stan and Doris are amazing individuals who touch the lives of Cherubusco residents every day. They are the directors of the Cherubusco United Methodist Food Pantry, active in church and youth ministry in so many ways, and are an overall blessing to everyone they meet. They are always helping cater dinners and organizing events if asked. They most recently headed up starting a community kindness rock garden with a Busco Park with vacation Bible study children and church volunteers. They have been a huge blessing in my life in the short time I've known them. They have been a huge supporter of our local Cub Scout pack for many years. I think they are more than deserving to be honored as a Heart of Gold recipient and I'm honored to call them friends. And our final nominee is Mike Thomas. Nominator, Nikki Keister, Executive Director, Columbia City Connect. For the past 7 years, Mike has volunteered his time and talent to coordinate live music for Columbia City's First Fridays, making each event vibrant and memorable for our community. This year's lineup featured honky tonk, acoustic, neo-soul jazz fusion, Latin rock, and classic 70s rock, showcasing the richness and variety of music while drawing people together. What makes Mike's work so special is the joy it sparks. You can see families dancing together in the street, kids mesmerized by the performers, and visitors commenting on how lively and welcoming downtown feels. Bands often remark on how well they are treated and how grateful they are for the chance to share their music with such an enthusiastic audience. It's the result of Mike's care, energy, and dedication. Mike was also part of the Columbia City Skate Park Advocates, helping to plan the park's grand opening, which included skateboard and bike giveaways and an essay contest for youth. As a member of the Troy Board of Directors, Mike also helps lead the Band Together Music Festival, raising scholarship funds for students at Troy School. In addition, he serves on the Columbia City Arts Commission, supporting the growth of arts and culture throughout the county. Mike Thomas has been instrumental in making our events thrive, in giving young people opportunities to grow, and in building a stronger, more connected community. His dedication, generosity, and vision demonstrate the very spirit of the Heart of Gold Award. Recognizing needs, creating opportunities, and sharing his time and energy to enrich the lives of others. On the front page of the Post and Mail today are two photos. The one on the left is titled Soccer Pride, and it says Columbia City High School's soccer team walks in the homecoming parade on Friday. In it, a group of young men wearing white t-shirts and black shorts, some carrying bags that look like they might be holding by candy, walk alongside a trailer filled with balls, particularly soccer balls. And on the right is a picture of two individuals, both wearing sashes that says Homecoming Court. Cal Miller and Elaine Hurst ride in the Columbia City High School Homecoming Parade Friday as members of the Homecoming Court. South Whitley Fall Festival is this weekend. The South Whitley Fall Festival starts Thursday evening with the crowning of a kitty king and queen. The pageant will be held at 6 p.m. at the South Whitley Community Public Library, 201 East Front Street. Opening evening also features a return of the library's art show, which will run through the end of the festival on Sunday. The art show has been expanded to include all mediums. Original paintings, photography, woodworking, crafts, and more by artists of all ages will be on display. A People's Choice Award will be presented to the display with the most votes from guests. Vendors open Friday, 4 to 8 p.m., and will be set up through Sunday. A full schedule is at southwestfallfestival.com. southwhitleyfallfestival.com. There is also a Facebook page for the festival. Friday's highlights include music at 7 p.m. downtown and the Haunted Hayride. Hayrides will be offered 9 to 11 p.m. at Front and Maple Streets. There is a $3 fee. The parade is Saturday at 1:30 p.m. There is a new route this year due to construction. Staging is at the Whitco Transportation Department, and the parade starts on Front Street. It will go west to Maple Street, north to Broad Street, west to State Street, and south to Columbia Street, where it will head east. The weekend schedule follows. Saturday, September 27th, 8 a.m., Break the Silence 5K, check-in 7 a.m., Cleveland Township Fire Department on North State Street, South Whitley. 10 a.m., Dog Show, Gazebo. 11 a.m., Bake Off, South Whitley Town Hall. 11 a.m., Bull Riding on Mulberry Street. $5 fee runs until 6 p.m. Noon, Buttle Bubbies Buddy's Foam Party, music, and a lot of bubbles. Noon, cornhole tournament downtown. 1:30 p.m., Mark's Ark, LeBron Gateway Park. 3:30 p.m., 51st Annual Fall Festival Parade, State and Columbia Streets. 4:30 p.m., Bed Race, State and Columbia Streets. Kitty Tractor Pull follows. 5 to 7 p.m., Chili Cook-Off, AmVets, Post 2919 at 234 South State Street, South Whitley. 6 p.m., Bingo, Cleveland Township Fire Department, 117 North State Street, South Whitley. 7 p.m., live music with He Said, She Said, LeBron Gateway Park, must be 21 years or older, $3 cover. 7:30 p.m., karaoke, AmVets Post 2919 on State Street. The schedule for Sunday, September 28th, 8 a.m., 3-on-3 basketball, Whitco Junior Senior High School, 1 Big Blue Avenue. Contact Michael Kokel at 260-248-0321 for details. 9 a.m., car show, State and Columbia Streets. 10 a.m., church service, LeBron Gateway Park, sponsored by South Whitley Community Church. 11 a.m., bull riding. 1 p.m., hobby horse races. 2:30 p.m., games, State and Mulberry Streets, pickle spit, sack race, three-legged race, hot dog eating contest, egg toss. 4 p.m., Family Feud, LeBron Gateway Park. 5 p.m., Talent Contest, LeBron Gateway Park. And there's a sidebar to this. The title is Break the Silence, 5K Proceeds Spur Local Advocacy. The theme of this year's South Whitley Fall Festival 5K is Break the Silence. The proceeds from the event will benefit the Whitley County Domestic Violence Task Force, which champions local people who have survived domestic violence. Based at 1171 East Woods Way, Columbia City, the SWDVT's mission is to empower and advocate for domestic violence survivors, promoting healing and reducing repeat offenses through education and community awareness. We believe that by raising awareness and providing support, we can help survivors heal and break the cycle of violence. Established in 2000 as a project of the Whitley County Community Foundation, the Whitley County Domestic Violence Task Force works to create positive change through the support of dedicated members and volunteers. They promote healthy relationships and strive to create a safer, more compassionate community for all residents of Whitley County. One way to support their efforts is to participate in the 5K run walk on Saturday. Register ahead of time at tinyurl.com/3W4D53C2. Or at 7 a.m. day of the race at the Cleveland Township Volunteer Fire Department, 117 North State Street, South Whitley. Entry is $20. The start is at 8 a.m. There are several area briefs. Family Safety Festival Saturday. Columbia City is hosting a Family Safety Festival downtown on Saturday, 9 to noon. The first 100 people will receive free helmets. Other highlights include Casey, the fire and life safety dog, paint a handprint on a street department plow, drawings and giveaways including a car seat checks by Whitley County Health Department, Jaws of Life in action by Columbia City firefighters, drone in action with Officer Bernecki, canine officer Jake. Ryan Gable, owner of 9GB Tech, will provide practical strategies on internet safety and identity theft prevention for people of all ages. Attendees will receive free age-specific handouts with tips for children, teens, adults, and seniors to help keep their personal information secure online. Festival guests can also participate in an internet safety lighting round. local bands perform at Carroll. The Columbia City Marching Eagles took 7th place in Class B, the Carroll Challenge of the Bands at Carroll High School. The Concord Marching Minutemen took 1st place in Class B with Best Music and General Effect, and Pendleton Heights Marching Arabians were 2nd with Best Visual. Whitco Marching Pride took 7th place in Open Class D at Carroll. This weekend, the Marching Pride and the Marching Eagles will be at Huntington North Invitational at Huntington North High School. Haunted Jail opens Friday. The Columbia City Haunted Jail opens Friday at 116 East Market Street. Last year, the attraction ranked number 5 as one of the USA Today's best haunted attractions in America. It has been nominated again this year. Hours are 7 to 9 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and Friday and Saturday, 7 to 11 p.m. There is a website at columbiacityhauntedjail.com and a Facebook page at the Columbia City Haunted Jail. Ticket prices range from $25 to $40. For details, call 260-471-2477. Paws and Pumpkins at Vintage Blessed. Vintage Blessed General Store, 127 North Main Street, will host Paws, Pumpkins, Flannels, and Fur on Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Free pet portraits by Bravery Branding will be offered 9:30 a.m. to noon on a first-come, first-served basis. Other activities include flannel-friendly photo ops, seasonal snacks, pumpkin patch, live music by Doug Haig, and food from Sandwiched Food Truck. All animals must be leashed, kenneled, or otherwise under control. On September 27th, the Whitley County Farmers Market will be open on Chauncey Street from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. On September 29th, there will be a baby fair at the Peabody Public Library, 1160 East State Road 205. At 10 a.m. in the community rooms, meet with local community organizations offering resources for families, from car seat checks to free diapers. Learn more about BABE and other local programs. This drop-in event will also feature a baby story time at 10:30 a.m. October 3rd will be First Friday, downtown Columbia City, 6 to 9 p.m., with live music, family-friendly activities, food, and shopping. And finally, from the Post and Mail today, we have the Whitley County Jail bookings. Dane Knapp, 18, of Garrett, was arrested September 15th, charged with burglary, theft, and criminal mischief. Mark Bourne, 70, of Columbia City, was arrested September 15th on a bond revocation order and charged with intimidation. Michael Garman, 41, of Warsaw, was arrested September 17th, charged with theft and identity deception. Adam Wall, 44, of Columbia City, was arrested September 18th, charged with probation violation. Brandy Nordman, 44, of Columbia City, was arrested September 18th, charged with operating while intoxicated. Jonathan Hurley, 30, of Wabash, was arrested September 18th, charged with 8 counts of possession of hypodermic needles. Jose Mendoza Juarez, 18, was arrested September 19th, charged with operating while never licensed. Carrie Seacrest, 52, of Elkhart, was arrested September 19th, charged with failure to return to lawful detention, theft, and forgery. Ian Leek, 28, of Warsaw, was arrested September 20th, charged with 2 counts each of possession of marijuana, hash oil, or hash, and possession of paraphernalia. We move now to the Decatur Daily Democrat, copyright 2025, the Decatur Daily Democrat. County Sewer Board to reach $53 million with 3 new sites in 26, by Eric Mann. The Adams County Regional Sewer District, which began operations in 2016, will have spent around $53 million in grants or loans by the time work in 3 more areas is completed by the end of 2026. At the September 23rd meeting of the commissioners, Sewer District Superintendent Nate Shearer gave a progress report in which he said the district has so far spent $47 million and now has received a $5 million forgivable loan from Indiana's State Revolving Fund, SRF, for next year's Project 6. The three 2026 work sites have been estimated to cost $6.1 million, so the sewer district will seek a loan to cover the remainder of what the $5 million grant does not cover. Adding those two amounts to the previous $47 million brings the total to around $53 million for what Shearer proudly declared to be, quote, one of the fastest-growing sewer districts in the state. He added, "Our maintenance program is top-notch," end quote, although upkeep is growing as equipment installed almost a decade ago is aging and must be repaired or replaced. Shearer noted the steep increase in prices since 2016 when he said pumps that once cost $1,400 each now cost $4,200. The superintendent added that the district is in the process of raising its monthly fee paid by customers, of which there will be more than 1,100 next year, from $93.30 to around $100. The $93.30 sum has been in effect since 2016, even as costs have escalated steadily. Shearer also mentioned another hike in expenses. Decatur will raise its charge for treating the district's sewage by 14% starting on January 1, 2026. The three areas worked on next year are these: installing a new force main in the Monmouth area, increasing pipe size from 4.6 inches to 6 inches in diameter. Around 10 homes will be added to the system. The areas along County Road 100 East and County Road 200 East, plus 2 County Road 400 North along U.S. 33. That will only add 3 homes, but will include the former Golden Meadows home on 200 East. As Commissioner Doug Bauman said, if housing develops there, sewer lines will be ready for another expansion. The area of Wanakin Memorial Lutheran School and its adjacent church, plus along County Road 200 West and County Road 1200 North, the Adams-Allen County line, to take in 10 or 11 residences in Williams. The Williams site is in Allen County, but the location is too far south for the Allen County Rural Sewer System to link with it, so Adams County was asked to become involved. Shearer further said 7 contracting companies that install sewer lines in this region requested and received information from the district about the 2026 jobs, which he said indicates a high degree of interest. Bids from contractors are due by October 2nd. The monthly rate increase ordinance will be introduced at the Sewer District Board's October 9th meeting, with a public housing on that proposed increase to be held that day. The Sewer Board meets at 1 p.m. on the second Thursday of every month in the main meeting room of the Adams County Service Complex in Decatur, located on the west side of the building along 4th Street. Finally, Bauman, who lives in rural Geneva and expressed a wish to be connected to the county system, asked if any housing areas near Geneva could be connected to that town's sewage treatment plant. The district now sends its sewage to the treatment plants in Decatur and Bern. Shearer told Bauman that the Geneva treatment plant is, quote, an older system, so he's not certain if it would be able to handle extra sewage from outside the town limits. Citations, 2 cited. The Adams County Sheriff's Department issued citations to 2 motorists on Tuesday evening. A ticket was given to Larry D. Stevenson, Lynn Grove, at the intersection of East 200 South and South 200 East in Monroe at 6:44 p.m. for holding or using a telecommunications device. Austin R. Mooneyham, Angola, received 2 tickets at 7:13 p.m. at the intersection of Sprunger and West Compromine Streets in Bern. One of the citations was for operating a motor vehicle without financial responsibility. The other was for driving while suspended, first offense. In the blotter, 6 taken in. 5 individuals were booked into the Adams County Detention Center, 1 on Monday and 4 on Tuesday, for varying offenses. Shana L. Gunter, 38, of Markle, was arrested Monday on a warrant for violation of probation. Gunter will be held in custody until she makes a court appearance at 8:15 a.m. Thursday. A violation of pretrial release 2.1 warrant was served on Tuesday morning for Juan A. Mendez, 64, of Monroe. Mendez is being held without bond until his court appearance at 9:15 a.m. Thursday. Michael Allen Flees, 33, of Decatur, was arrested for a level 6 felony charge of neglect of a dependent. A cash bond of $350 was set for Flees. Surety was placed at $450. A court appearance for Flees has been scheduled for 1:30 p.m. Monday. Christy Lee Fees, Decatur, was arrested for a level 6 felony count of neglect of a dependent and a charge of resisting law enforcement. Flees was denied bond. Flees will appear in court on Monday at 1:30 p.m. John E. Mendez, 67, Decatur, entered the Adams County Detention Center on a book in order for theft. Mendez was released under his own recognizance. Burn PD activity. At 9:52 and again at 10:25 a.m., animal complaint for stray cats on Sprunger Street. 11:06, animal complaint for a loose dog on Hendricks Street. 11:41, assist fire department on West Buckeye Street. 11:50 a.m., agency assist for a follow-up on West Main Street. 2:16 p.m., accidental 911 dial on Leakdy Road. 5:15 p.m., investigation on West Main Street. 6:45 p.m., theft on East Main Street. 7:01 p.m., assisted a deputy with a traffic stop at Sprunger Street and Compromise Street. 7:42 p.m., assisted a party who wanted to talk to an officer regarding a prior case on Maple Street. And on September 24th, 5:52 a.m., traffic stop at 218 and 200 West, Matthew Oswald was issued a citation for speeding. Driving mishaps result in two crashes. Unsafe lane movement caused an accident that was investigated on Tuesday night by the Decatur Police Department. Distracted driving was the primary factor in a collision the Adams County Sheriff's Department responded to on Friday morning. Tuesday at 8:10 p.m., Alan M. Schlichty, Portland, was southbound in the right lane on U.S. Highway 27 in Decatur in a maroon burgundy Toyota Scion TC. As he approached the turn for Kroger, Schlichty attempted to get into the left lane and abruptly hit the brakes. It was then that Schlichty's vehicle was rear-ended by the black Chevrolet GMT 400 that Randy R. Martinez of Bluffton was driving at the time. Martinez said he was in the left lane when Schlichty suddenly cut in front of him. A witness also noticed Schlichty quickly changing lanes. Neither Schlichty nor Martinez sustained injuries in the accident. $10,001 to $25,000 was the estimated range of damage. The distracted driving incident took place at 11:15 a.m. Friday in Monroe. Gray Slaughter of Decatur was driving a red Chevrolet Cruze and was stopped at the intersection of U.S. 27 and Polk Street. Lauder thought the black Chevrolet Equinox being driven by Mark Cox, Decatur, started moving in front of her. As such, Lauder started to go before realizing that Cox stopped. Lauder said that it was too late for her to hit the brakes. Neither driver was hurt. A damage estimate was placed between $10,001 and $25,000. County GOP hosting a free luncheon. The Adams County Republican Party, along with Americans for Prosperity, will host a luncheon that will feature Senator Travis Holdman and Representative Matt Lehman. A lunch buffet will be available for the event that will take place on Tuesday at 12 o'clock p.m. at the Galley Restaurant in Decatur. There's no cost to go to the luncheon, but attendance must be confirmed by going to afp.in, Crossroads of Prosperity Luncheon. Adams County, Americans for Prosperity, and filling out the form. At this time, we'll be reading The Plain Dealer from Wednesday, September 17th, 2025, copyright 2025, The Plain Dealer. Area News Briefs. Board and Brush has new owners. DIYers are invited to attend a celebration in honor of the new ownership of the local Board and Brush Creative Studio franchise, 160 South High Street, Roanoke, from 12 to 2 p.m. September 28th. There will be refreshments, a sidewalk sale, and more. New owners of the business are Jacqueline and Bobby Stembazi. Born and raised in Huntington, Jacqueline Stembazi is partnering with her husband Bobby to run the Board and Brush Studio. Jacqueline, who will continue to work full-time at Edward Jones, will handle the tech, and Bobby, who runs another local business, All Pro Gutters, will handle the behind-the-scenes work, such as project builds and refilling the wood. They are excited for this new chapter, one centered around creativity, connection, and community. "We're trying to get more involved with Roanoke to bring people together," Jacqueline shared. Civic Center plans a shindig. Peru Civic Center's fall shindig is 4 to 7 p.m. September 27th. Everyone is invited to the center, 225 East Riverside Drive, to hear music by Peter and Company, tour the center, visit on-site trucks, and more. Parkview offers grief support. When a loved one passes away, grief can be overwhelming and isolating. While each person experiences grief in their own way, getting support to understand your grief and find companionship with others can help you navigate your feelings and move forward. Huntington County Support Group meets the second and fourth Wednesday of each month, 5:30 to 7 o'clock p.m. at Parkview Hospice, 2708 Guilford Street, Huntington. Participants should enter the Parkview Walk-In Clinic, Parkview Ortho Express, in the Kroger Plaza. The meeting room is on the right. Maquanica sets budget hearing. The Maquanica School Board will conduct a public hearing to propose the 2026 budget, 2026 capital plan, and 2026 business bus replacement plan at 6 p.m. September 24th in the boardroom at the School Administration Building, 7932 South Strawtown Pike. A regular meeting follows. There's a small picture of Jack Barlow handing what looks like a giant-sized check. It says, "Jack Barlow, Habitat for Humanity of Greater Fort Wayne Huntington, area manager, with a ceremonial kudos grant check from Elizabeth Heyer, Community Foundation on Huntington County board member." Terry Edmiston, underneath that, is in a picture. Roanoke Fall Festival Committee representative receives a ceremonial check for a kudos grant from John Nelson, Community Foundation of Huntington County, past president. Community Foundation of Huntington County board member Elizabeth Heyer recently presented a kudos grant to Habitat for Humanity of Greater Fort Wayne in support of their upcoming Twilight Habitat golf outing. The evening golf outing will be at 5 p.m. September 22nd and will feature 18 unique holes. Golfers will start with 9 traditional holes, followed by dinner, and will then embark on 9 glow-in-the-dark par 3 holes under the stars. "I chose to support Habitat for Humanity of Greater Fort Wayne with a kudos grant because of their consistency and dedication in helping residents and families in Huntington County achieve their own place to call home," Heyer said. All proceeds raised during the Twilight Habitat golf outing will support local families on their journey towards safe, affordable home ownership. For more information on the outing and Habitat for Humanity of Greater Fort Wayne, visit habitatgfw.com/twilight/. Community Foundation past president John Nelson recently presented a kudos grant to support the 71st annual Roanoke Fall Festival. "I chose to support this particular event because it is a community-wide celebration that touches so many different aspects of Roanoke. I've been on the Fall Festival Committee before, and I know how important it is to have monetary support as the current committee plans the multi-day event." The Kudos Grant Program was established to support and highlight the immense impact that local nonprofits have on Huntington County. Kudos grants provide both recognition and a financial gift to agencies that Community Foundation board members and volunteers believe offer outstanding services to the Huntington County community. Organizations cannot apply for Kudos grants. These are awarded at the sole discretion of board members and volunteers who have the ability to award one Kudos grant per year. Tomato canning lessons offered in Markle. The Huntington County Public Library has slated a home canning lesson for Saturday at the Markle Branch Library. The lesson starts at 1 p.m. Learn to preserve tomatoes and vegetable salads using a hot water bath method that doesn't require special equipment and other easy canning skills. Fall speaker series continues. Manchester University continues its Values, Ideas, and the Arts series for fall 2025. These free and public presentations at 11 a.m. on Mondays in Wine Recital Hall in the North Manchester campus, otherwise noted. September 27, Marcus Gillier, an internationally renowned sports photographer, shares insights from four decades behind the lens at Olympic Games, FIFA World Cups, U.S. Open in Wimbledon, Formula One races, the Tour de France, and more. September 29th, Irene Miller, social psychologist and Holocaust survivor, tells her story of survival as a child during World War II, held in Cordier Auditorium. October 6th, Ella Brown, researcher at the U of M, that would be University of Michigan, shares the results of her NSF-funded research with wild male mountain gorillas. Her findings bring us closer to understanding our shared evolutionary lineage. October 22nd, Dr. Lisbeth Ocasio-Ruse, professor of creative writing at Southern New Hampshire University, explores the power of comics and graphic novels and how her webcomic Excommunicata celebrates humanity and embraces diverse beliefs. October 27th, Dr. Stacy Erickson-Pasetsky, professor of English and associate dean of academic affairs at MU, shares her experiences reading Shakespeare with incarcerated adults and juveniles in Indiana prisons and jails for the past 12 years. October 28th, in conjunction with the October 27th program, a showing of the 2024 film Sing Sing, followed by a discussion with Dr. Stacy Erickson-Prasetsky, 6:30 to 9 p.m. November 3rd, Clark Staton, chaplain at Ascension St. Vincent's Hospital in Indianapolis, shares insights from his experience in healthcare. November 10th, Daryl Edmonds, former Alternative Dispute Resolution Deployable Field Advisor for FEMA, discusses the complexities of resolving conflict and explains key principles of effective conflict engagement. November 17th, MU seniors Carmen Reno and Peyton Elsrod share their distinctive ways of making the most of their college experiences and becoming their best selves. November 24th, Becky Landes, regional value chain professional at FarmWise Indiana and former school food service director, shares insights from her 23 years of experience in child nutrition, including efforts to bring local farm produce into Manchester Junior Senior High School. December 1st, Heidi Lovett, Youth Services Senior Manager at St. Joe County Public Library, explores how she turned her passion for art into a series of innovative library projects that bring stories to life in unexpected ways. Utilities Board meets today in Peru. The Peru Utilities Service Board will convene a regular session at 4 o'clock p.m. today in the Utilities Office, 335 East Canal Street. An executive session begins 3:30 p.m. prior to the regular meeting. The reason was not provided. For accommodations, contact ADA Coordinator Lee France, 765-473-6681, as soon as possible. Big Day Winners, Huntington. The first place winning team at Huntington Chamber of Commerce, a Big Day Golf Outing, September 10th at the Maple Grove course, was Lake City Bank, shooting a 51. Second place went to First Federal Savings Bank, coming in at 52, and third place, Wings Etc., shooting a 53. Closest to the pin for men was Zach Kindler, Wings Etc., and for the women, Stacy Reisinger, hole in none. Longest putt went to Mitch Wilson, Huntington University, while Chris Schrader of Schrader Sales and Service won the longest drive for men, and Susan Zahn of JJ's for women. Joe Kristen, Shuttleworth Inc., won the putting green contest. The skins game was shared between Shuttleworth Inc., Lockmuller Group, and Lake City Bank. Nature Park sells fall passes. Roanoke. The 2025 Fall Park Pass, valid September 21st to December 21st, gives free Saturday admission, discounts on safari bus rides, free or reduced entry to special programs, and exclusive perks at seasonal favorites. Choose the pass that fits you the best. Basic for $30, family for $100, or adventure for $65. Available until October 10th. Competition draws varied inspirations. Wabash. The annual photography competition was an opportunity for a pair of local artists to express themselves with their favorite medium. The show also gave Wabash residents Becky Bowman and Joseph Swisher a chance for some notoriety, as they both received third-place honors in their respective categories. As well, their works show the diverse array and extremes of images on display in the exhibit. Bowman and Swisher joined 48 other photographers whose works remain on display in the Clark Gallery until September 24th in the Honeywell Center's Clark Gallery, West Market Street. The inspiration for Swisher's haunting black and white photograph, Jailhouse Ghost, is a very different place. It came from my childhood, a very traumatic childhood. My father shot my mom, then shot and killed her boyfriend in front of me. He was arrested and placed in the old Lake County Jail in Crown Point. That particular jail has since been replaced. However, the old structure remains and is abandoned. I really wanted to capture the ghost of all the men that were locked up in that horrible place, so I snuck in through a window where the bars had been pulled out just enough. I wandered around the whole place taking pictures, trying to imagine my dad in that place. Swisher eventually came upon a wall displaying a former inmate's artwork. "The sketch was just barely visible amongst the peeling paint," said Swisher. He snapped a photograph of the sketch, pondering if the inmate had long since passed away. He used a 35mm Nikon F2A camera and a Nikkor lens with black and white film for the photograph. "I love Nikon cameras because of their durability and the quality of their lenses, perfect for photojournalism." Bowman's muse was the opposite of Swisher's. Her color print, Waiting for a School Bus, depicted her granddaughter standing alongside a country road on a foggy morning, an idyllic Norman Rockwell-esque setting prime for capturing the moment. "My granddaughter Tegan is always a source of inspiration. On that particular day, she was walking down the driveway and reminded me that was as far as I was allowed to go. Her rules, not mine." She used an Apple iPhone SE for that photograph. These days, many artists, including seasoned professional photographers, use smartphones for particular photography. Up-close portraits and scenic landscape shots can be difficult to discern between a phone and standard camera. When not taking photographs with her trusty iPhone, Bowman uses a Nikon D3500. Best in Show of the exhibit was awarded to Michael Bransbach of Midland, Texas, whose work was titled Bethany. He also captured the first place prize in the color division for Barcelona No. 1. Michael Holtz's black and white photograph, the Oak Rock Island National Cemetery, received top honors in that category. Holtz resides in Champaign, Illinois. Altered Image First Prize was claimed by Elizabeth Endres from Argos for her work, Potawatomi Fish. The competition was judged by Robert Clark Davis, an associate professor at the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. The Clark Gallery hosts exhibits by students, amateurs, and professional artists throughout the year. A free public reception will be held 5:30 p.m. September 24th in the Clark Gallery. A complete list of photography and artists appearing in the exhibit is available online at honeywellarts.org. This concludes our reading today for Area News. This has been Denise. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the Audio Reading Service at the Allen County Public Library.